This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Wednesday, Ceviche Wednesday, March 20th, and today's pod is the best one yet. This is the best pod we've ever done, Jack.
The top three pop business news stories you need to know today.
Yeti stocks rose before the Fed's big meeting later today. Not too shabby.
Today, the Federal Reserve finishes their two-day policy meeting where they make their big interest rate announcement.
Ooh, the big interest rate announcement. Jack and I will update you when we get the numbers. In the meantime, Jack, we've got a wonderful show. What's on it today?
For our first story, Ben & Jerry's ice cream is getting spun off from Unilever. It's the biggest ice cream deal since the sundae.
Jack, it's the biggest split since the banana split.
For our second story, Mr. Beast is launching a game show on Amazon Prime Video called Beast Games.
Amazon is paying big for Mr. Beast because game shows are the new profit puppies.
And our third and final story, NVIDIA's CEO may be the most interesting person you don't know.
Besties, the founder of NVIDIA, loves Denny's, hates watches, and has a giant computer chip tattoo.
But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix of stories.
No one else is doing this mix today, Jack. Love the mix of stories today.
This is Nick. This is Jack. And we actually have different names than you think.
Yeah. Jack's real first name is not Jack.
Nick legally changed his first name when he was a kid. True story.
But those are stories for another podcast, Yetis. Those are for another podcast.
In the meantime, Sam Altman, the king of artificial intelligence, he actually hates his company's name.
Get this. Sam Altman just admitted openly that he does not like the name OpenAI.
And he really doesn't like the name ChatGPT.
In fact, the founder and CEO of the world's most important startup hates both of those names.
And that's ironic because he created those names years ago, but today he hates them.
Last week on a podcast, Sam Altman said that if I could go back in time with an oracle, I would pick a different name.
He even said that ChatGPT, which is his company's most important product,
he came up with a name,
has a horrible name, his words.
He said no marketer would ever choose that name. I hate the name, horrible name.
And I gotta say, we agree. ChatGPT is an awful name. Nick and I hate having to write it down like in our notes for the show.
ChatGPT, it sounds like a crypto pharmaceutical company.
But if this famous name is so bad, what should it be renamed to? That's the question.
Jack and I started thinking, and we're thinking, hey, ChatGPT could become Chat Buddy.
Or it could become Sam, named after the founder, short for Super Automated Machine.
ChatGPT could pull a Justin Timberlake and drop the GPT.
Just chat. It's cleaner. That's actually a good idea, chat.
But yet, Jack and I decided to jump in T-Boy style and ask ChatGPT what it would rename ChatGPT.
Wait, we're going to ask ChatGPT what its name should be?
Oh, yeah, I didn't tell you this. All right, I got it actually up right now. You want me to read to you what it says when I ask ChatGPT what it should rename itself?
Enter that prompt and push enter.
Okay, here we go, here we go.
As an AI language model, I don't have personal preferences or desires. But if I were to suggest a name for myself, perhaps ConvoLogic.
ConvoLogic, huh? That's the least creative name I've ever heard.
ChatGPT, it's no Picasso.
Yet.
Sam, your move.
Yetis, actually, your move. What do you think we should rename ChatGPT to?
Besties, what's a better name for OpenAI or ChatGPT? We want to know.
And don't say closed AI. We know it's closed source. That's an old joke.
Hit us up at T-Boy Pod and let us know what would you rename ChatGPT.
Now, let's hit our three stars.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea that caused a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show. Start the show.
First, a quick word from our sponsor. Airbnb.
I hosted on Airbnb 9 years ago for the first time, but I'm doing it again this year because I got a trip to France in the summer and a trip to the tropics over Christmas.
All right, Jack, besides those humble brags, both of those trips, what are you going to do with your place, man? What are you doing with it?
For both of those trips, I'm putting my place on Airbnb.
Because now there's an obvious benefit to hosting on Airbnb. It's financial.
I'm putting the money from my Airbnb revenue towards my plane tickets for both of those flights.
All right, so it's incredible. Instead of your place just sitting empty while you're on vacation, you're going to earn a little extra money while you're away. It's a win-win.
Truly. And setting my schedule as a host on Airbnb is so convenient. Airbnb has easy-to-use features that allow me to update my calendar so I host exactly when I want to host.
Yeah, Eddie's, if you live somewhere you already have an Airbnb, Airbnb it.
Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/tboy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. For our first story, Unilever is breaking up with Ben & Jerry's 24 years after acquiring the ice cream brand.
The most famous ice cream in the world is getting unacquired, and the details are shocking.
Ice cream, you scream, and Unilever's just screaming about their ice cream right now.
Unilever is actually the biggest ice cream company in the world, and they're based out of the Netherlands.
Unilever, they own Dove soap, and they own Hellmann's mayonnaise, but they also own Magnum ice cream, Good Humor ice cream, Talenti ice cream, Breyers ice cream, Klondike ice cream, and Ben & Jerry's ice cream.
And despite owning 30 different ice cream brands globally, Unilever sold 6% less ice cream last year than the year before.
Jack, why exactly are people eating less ice cream these days? Because we're not.
Ice cream is too expensive. The dairy, the sugar, and the chocolate chips that are required for ice cream, they're all soaring in cost this year. So Unilever had to raise the price of their ice cream by 8%.
It's chipflation. And what was the result of this chipflation, Jack?
What Unilever calls down trading. Customers are finding lower priced private label ice cream brands like Kirkland instead of Ben & Jerry's.
Maybe a little less gelato in your freezer these days, Yetis.
That's why ice cream was the worst performing division at Unilever last year.
It's 22% of Unilever's sales, and yet ice cream is just 8% of their operating profit.
So here's the news. Unilever is done with ice cream. They announced yesterday they're spinning off all their 30 ice cream brands into a separate company, basically saying, bye-bye, good luck.
It's like they're on a diet, Jack. Like, keep it away from me. I don't even want to see the cookie dough.
I don't even want it in the house.
Maybe just a little bit. But Yetis, we know what you're thinking because we were thinking it too. What exactly does this ice cream split mean for you?
It's pretty exciting, actually. It means later this year, we're going to have a new pure play publicly traded ice cream company. The whole company is just going to be 30 brands of ice cream.
Pure play sorbet stock is what we're talking about. What do you think the ticker symbol is going to be of this thing, Jack?
We hope the ticker symbol is cone or chalk or chip.
Can we do lick? Is lick acceptable, Jack? Four-letter word.
I told you, we don't say lick on this podcast, Nick. That's the rule. Okay, no, we need to edit that out.
That's ASMR. People love it, Jack.
No, they don't.
But Yetis, this new ice cream conglomerate, it's actually going to include 5 of the top 10 selling ice cream brands on planet Earth. And yet, it's led by one brand.
Ben & Jerry's.
Because Unilever acquired Ben & Jerry back in the year 2000.
Unilever paid $326 million for what was at the time, and still today, the top ice cream brand in the world.
But Yetis, Jack and I got to pause the pod here. Because Ben & Jerry's getting acquired by Unilever was maybe, actually it was, the most unusual deal we have ever seen.
Because Ben Cohen and Jerry Greenfield of Ben & Jerry's, they negotiated the most Vermont-y things into the contract you could possibly imagine.
Get this. Unilever agreed that 7.5% of Ben & Jerry's profits would go to the Ben & Jerry Foundation in perpetuity.
Unilever is sending a big check to the Ben & Jerry's Foundation every year, which fights for social justice.
And Unilever agreed not to change the way that Ben & Jerry's ice cream is actually made.
If you can't name the cow whose milk you're using for that vanilla, then Unilever, you got a problem.
And Unilever agreed not to cut any jobs ever at Ben & Jerry's.
So Ben & Jerry's childhood buddy, Doug, he's still chunking every monkey in each pint.
He's not good at chunking that monkey, but
he can't be fired because of the contract.
Keep missing the chips.
It's one of the best deals we've ever heard negotiated. And it was Ben & Jerry, two Vermonters, who got it done.
And perhaps the biggest thing Ben & Jerry negotiated by far with Unilever was editorial independence.
We'll get to that in our takeaway. Well, Jack, I'm getting kind of hungry, so could you scoop up the takeaway for our buddies over at Ben and Jerry?
We've said you can be rich or you can be king, but not both. Well, Ben and Jerry got both.
Yeah, it is. Even though Ben and Jerry sold Ben and Jerry's to Unilever, they still control it because they have an independent board from Unilever.
Ben and Jerry's negotiated that Ben and Jerry's would have an independent board, which let the two OG founders retain control of the brand, even though it was owned by Unilever.
Well, Ben and Jerry's used their control of the brand to become the most outspoken brand in business.
This ice cream company has spoken publicly about defunding police, fossil fuels, even Israel and Palestine.
Even though they sold to Unilever, they're like kings because they have control.
But Ben and Jerry also got that $326 million payout when they sold the company. So Ben and Jerry's are both king and they're rich.
That is, when entrepreneurs make deals, Jack and I often say you can be rich or you can be king, but you can't be both.
What we mean is you can either have control of the company you built or you can have a lot of money. But you can't be both in any deal.
And yet, Ben and Jerry, best friends in seventh grade, negotiated a deal back in 2000 that may be the best deal Jack and I have ever seen in our lives.
Because they got the best of both worlds. They're both rich and king. They got a huge payout, and they retained control of their beloved brand.
Well, for Unilever, they arguably have the worst of both worlds.
So Unilever is finally ending it. They're spinning off Ben and Jerry's and letting them be a separate company again.
For our second story, Mr. Beast, the top YouTuber in the world, is moving to the big screen, Amazon Prime Video.
The new show is called Beast Games. It will be the biggest competition game show series in television history.
But Yetis, before we kick off this story, quick PSA reminder, Amazon owns MGM Studios. Just, we should throw that out there.
Thanks for that. Well, Amazon also just signed a deal with Jimmy Donaldson, aka Mr. Beast.
And one of Jimmy's most famous YouTube videos as Mr. Beast is a Squid Game competition in real life.
He paid $500,000 to the winner of an elaborate Squid Game style competition that his company organized.
And that is why Mr. Beast has become the top grossing YouTuber of all time with 245 million subscribers.
Mr. Beast made $82 million last year.
Jack, can you sprinkle on some Hollywood context for us over there, please?
That's not just a lot of money. That's nearly twice the income that Tom Cruise made last year.
And Tom's not happy about it. Yet he's each of Mr. Beast's videos brings in a couple million dollars in ad revenue on average, but they also bring in a couple million in brand deals as well.
The last time we covered Mr. Beast on this pod was about this deal. At the time, it was a rumored deal.
But a couple months later, it is now official. Beast Games is the new show coming to Amazon Prime Video. But Yetis, here's what Jack and I find fascinating about this story. In content, because we are also creators in the content industry, every video requires a hook.
And the hook for this new game show series is superlatives.
I think you mean the hook for this new game show series is superlatives.
Because the goal of this show is the goal of pretty much every Mr. Beast production. Extremeness.
Jack and I were shocked to see this because Amazon is like a more conservative company, but Amazon's announcement had some big words, didn't it, Jack?
Amazon's announcement of this deal, which was published yesterday, used the words biggest or greatest 5 times. And Nick and I can tell you, lawyers hate those words because they're hard to confirm that they're true.
Jack, I think CEO Andy Jassy popped a blood vessel when he was reading this thing.
But Amazon and Mr. Beast are calling it the biggest, greatest game show ever. Because 1,000 contestants are going to compete in a competition to win a $5 million cash prize.
$5 million. That is five Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, isn't it, Jack?
They call it the biggest prize for the biggest competition in TV and streaming history.
Yeah, it is. Amazon gave Jimmy creative control, and Jimmy hopes to make the YouTube community proud with a lot of superlative hooks.
In Beast Games. Coming probably later this year, maybe next year.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Amazon and Mr. Beast?
The most expensive show on TV is actually the cheapest show on TV.
Best is 1,000 contestants and a $5 million cash prize. That's a record number. Like, that sounds like a really expensive show.
But in reality, this is a relatively cheap show to produce.
And we know it's a cheap show because you can see it when you compare Mr. Beast Games to Amazon's other big production, Rings of Power.
Remember last summer, the Amazon spinoff of Lord of the Rings. It was called Rings of Power, and it cost a shocking $500 million to produce those 8 episodes.
That was an insanely expensive show.
Well, Beast Games isn't going to cost $500 million. Beast Games is a reality TV show, not a scripted show, which means it avoids a lot of the big production costs.
This is the interesting business model angle of reality shows. There are no actors to pay, no CGI to pay for, no costume budgets, and no team of writers.
Plus, there will be minimal marketing required since Mr. Beast is going to promote the show to his 250 million YouTube subscribers.
Yet he's added all up and a $5 million record cash prize. That sounds expensive, but in reality, this is a reality show.
And reality shows are cheaper to produce.
The most expensive show on TV is actually the cheapest show on TV. Now, a quick word from our sponsor.
This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively, FedEx.
Canva.
6 years ago, Nick and I were designing the pitch deck for our media company.
Yeah, we didn't want it to look like some amateur college PowerPoint. We wanted to impress investors. So we made our first pitch deck on Canva.
Canva is the easy-to-use online design platform for presentations, social media posts, physical flyers, anything you can design.
Canva turns you into a digital Da Vinci, delighting your audience with design.
They got these color palettes that you can use. It makes your work look beautiful.
We used presentation templates that were available for free and then customized them for our company.
And guess what? That summer, we sold that company, Market Snacks, thanks to the deck we built with Canva.
Oh, and funny thing, we still use Canva today for all our design projects.
So Yetis, start designing today at canva.com.
Canva, designed for work. For our third and final story, as NVIDIA hosts the biggest chip event of the year, we want to talk about NVIDIA's founder.
Because NVIDIA's founder and CEO, Jensen Huang, is the most important person who you don't know yet. Nick, what time is it though?
Yeah, it is here in the West Coast. It's 2:34 p.m. exactly.
You know, because you have a watch.
I got a lovely watch right here.
Well, Jensen Huang, the founder and CEO of NVIDIA, he doesn't care what time it is. He doesn't wear a watch.
That's right. The founder and CEO of NVIDIA doesn't believe in watches because he believes now is the only time that matters. He is so focused on being present that he lives every day like, as he puts it, the company is going to go bankrupt tomorrow, so he doesn't need a watch.
Jensen Huang also has a tattoo of a company on his bicep, and that company is his company, NVIDIA.
He went full Harley Davidson on his bicep, but with the computer chip logo.
That's because NVIDIA is the $2 trillion computer chip company that is powering the AI revolution.
Artificial intelligence is hype for most tech companies, but it's real for NVIDIA.
Profits at NVIDIA have sextupled. They have increased by sixfold year over year as they sell all the chips that are powering all of the world's AI.
In the past 18 months since ChatGPT was unveiled, NVIDIA has soared to become the number three most valuable company in the world. You get a tattoo for that, Jack.
And this week, NVIDIA is hosting their chip conference in San Jose, dubbed the Woodstock of AI.
But Yetis, the way Jack and I see it, the real story here isn't the chip conference down in San Jose. The real story is Jensen.
Jensen Huang is now worth $70 billion. But 61 years ago, he was born in Taiwan, then moved to Thailand when he was 5, and then he moved to Kentucky to go to boarding school.
Jensen Huang cleaned bathrooms over the summers at that boarding school. And then he got into weightlifting and now he could probably pin Zuck.
But what's so interesting about Jensen is how long his success story took.
Yetis, the idea for NVIDIA, it actually began over 30 years ago at a Denny's fast food breakfast restaurant.
If you visit the Denny's in San Jose, there's actually a plaque on the bench where Jensen Huang came up with the idea for NVIDIA.
Hey, Yetis, if you're in San Jose and you go to this Denny's and you see that plaque, we want to see the pic. Please send it to us.
Back in 1993, over some pancakes and waffles, he decided instead of a general computer chip for any kind of computing, Jensen was going to develop a chip that does one kind of computing, the graphics processing unit.
And for the next 30 long years, NVIDIA sold those chips to video game consoles and to biotech companies, and they steadily grew and grew with the tech industry.
But then, in November of 2022, the AI era began, And AI needed those GPUs. They needed a lot of those NVIDIA GPUs.
And that artificial intelligence demand was so real that the value of NVIDIA has grown by $1 trillion in that period.
Success happens slowly, and then it comes suddenly.
Jensen puts it, success is a marathon, and it doesn't take years, it takes decades.
That's why he does this when he wishes someone well. He also wishes them suffering.
Interestingly, Jensen, the guy without a watch and with a big NVIDIA tattoo worth $70 billion, hopes that you struggle for the reward.
Because that makes it all the more worth it. Or at least it did for him.
Maybe that's why he's not wearing the shinola. So Jack, what's the takeaway for all our buddies in the tech industry?
Jensen Huang isn't the king of tech. He's the king maker of tech.
Our favorite part about researching this Jensen Huang story wasn't like just the wild things he said or the watches or the tata. It's actually what others said about him.
According to the Wall Street Journal, Larry Ellison, the founder and CEO of Oracle, took Jensen out to dinner in September to beg him for his chips.
Apparently, Larry Ellison and Elon Musk wined, dined. They took Jensen out to Nobu and like basically begged him over the black cod $50 dish for more computer chips.
Because there aren't enough computer chips and nobody makes the chip that NVIDIA makes.
NVIDIA's chips are really machines. They are the crucial brain cells that compute AI.
So Meta, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Oracle, even Tesla, they can't execute their AI plans unless they get NVIDIA's chips.
So whomever Jensen sells his limited chips to are the ones who will win the race for AI.
Jensen isn't the king of tech. He may be something more powerful.
He's the kingmaker of tech. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us for Ceviche Wednesday?
Unilever is separating itself from its 30 ice cream brands. Soon, we're going to have Ice Cream Inc. led by Ben & Jerry's.
With most deals, you can be rich or you can be king. But Ben & Jerry, they got both.
For our second story, Mr. Beast's Beast Games comes to Amazon Prime Video soon. 1,000 people are going to compete for a $5 million prize.
But the most expensive show on TV is actually the cheapest show on TV.
And our third and final story is Jensen Huang. He decides who gets his limited supply of AI-capable computer chips.
Jensen Huang, the founder of NVIDIA, isn't the king of tech. He's the king maker.
But Yetis, this pod's not over yet. Here's what else you need to know today.
First, happy Reddit IPO day. Reddit is the biggest IPO of the year in the United States and the first social media company to go public in 5 years.
They'll begin trading today on the New York Stock Exchange, and they're targeting a $6.5 billion valuation.
Interestingly, Reddit set aside 8% of their stock for passionate users. So we'll cover this story tomorrow when we see what those passionate users end up doing with the stock.
Second, Volkswagen's Chattanooga plant in Tennessee could be next to join the United Auto Workers.
This would be the first non-Detroit car company in the United States to form a union.
Although every Volkswagen plant in its home country of Germany is already in a union.
And finally, the numbers are in. The average Wall Street bonus dipped by 2% last year to $176,000.
Wall Street profits were up last year, but the banks are being more cautious about divvying out bonuses.
Now, time for the best fact yet. This one is a surprise fact whipped up by Jack and me. Jack hasn't actually seen it yet, so I am just going to drop it on Jack.
It was whipped up by you. What do you got? Hit me.
Here's the question, Jack. Trivia. Ben & Jerry's is famous for having a lot of different ice cream flavors. But how many Ben & Jerry's ice cream flavors are on the market right now?
So Half-Baked comes in like original dairy. They have a non-dairy version of Half-Baked. Does that count as two different flavors?
Sounds like a wordy answer to an I don't know exactly.
No. I'm trying to figure out the parameters of the question.
No, Jack, that is two different flavors. That is fair. You are laying the lay of the land.
All right. And I'm going to say 60 flavors.
Jack, 60 flavors would fill your fridge, but 60 flavors would not fill Ben & Jerry's imagination because Ben & Jerry have 98 different flavors of ice cream on the market right now.
I was pretty close.
That was not too shabby. Do you know how many are chocolate-based versus how many are vanilla-based?
50-50.
Actually, only 20 of them are chocolate-based, 16 are vanilla-based, and the remainder are just wild. Yetis, you're looking fantastic for Ceviche Wednesday. And if you think you've got the best fact yet, or if you want to get a buddy a shout out on this show, just head over to tboypod.com. We got a form there.
And we also got a link in the episode description.
In the meantime, we're going to go rename ChatGPT, and Jack and I will see you tomorrow.
Hey,
And before we go, a shout out to Sierra Smith from Chicago, who's running her very first marathon. NVIDIA would be proud.
And happy birthday to Jordan Roseborough, who's turning 29 in Washington, D.C.
And Allie Harrington's got a 31st birthday celebrating in Smyrna, Georgia.
Happy birthday to Raya El Abdallah, who's turning 9 and listening on the way to school in Dubai, over in the United Arab Emirates.
Raya is a legendary Yeti. Wishing her the best in class today, because we know, Raya, you're going to be singing the Tay Boy jingle.
Probably better than Mick and I can.
Definitely better than us.
This is Jack, Island Stock of Amazon and Unilever. If you like the best one yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you, like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.